Profit or loss and other comprehensive income.
I was going to lie and say that this morning's group got it done in 5 minutes. I was trying to think that one, but they didn't. So we'll move to agenda paper 2, and this is regarding presentation of profit and loss and other comprehensive income, and it summarises the discussion in section 8 of the discussion paper. And I'll go through parts of this paper, but I want to start in the first section, which is financial performance. And this morning it was referred to as the elephant in the room. And the way that the discussion paper approaches financial performance, which is not to define it. We understand that many people would like us to define financial performance. We felt that financial performance could mean so many things to different people, and even within the board we had different views as to what financial performance meant. So what the discussion paper does is, instead of defining performance, instead to concentrate on how items of income and expense can be best presented in the statement of comprehensive income. So that leads me to the first question, which is at the bottom of paragraph 6, as to your degree with the approach to defining financial performance in the discussion paper.
No, I think for the reasons that I articulated earlier, we really do think that the focus for the accounts should be on the equity investors, and what they want to know is what management has generated from its operations during the period and what its financial performance has been. And I think we firmly believe there should be objectives and principles for performance reporting, and there should be a clear distinction between profit and loss and OCI, and I think it's a shame that that issue has been ducked in this. I think it was a very good opportunity to address that, because it's a major concern.
You think it has been ducked? I mean, we go on to looking at what goes into OCI.
Yeah, but you're looking at it from OCI. I think it would be helpful if you actually
do it from profit and loss.
Profit and loss the other way around.
So would you look at financial performance as the return generated from operations during a period? Is that how you would describe what financial performance is?
I think that's what we'd like to see reported. That's okay. What we'd like to know.
Greg.
Could I just do a follow-up on Liz's comment, which is, I think the reason we took in the discussion paper focus on defining OCI was to say, start with the presumption that transactions and events should be recognized in P&L in the period, unless there's a specific reason for segregating them out. And what you're saying is really put the emphasis the other way, to segregate the pool of things you think should be in P&L. Would you rather, I think we have a presumption that it's better to be inclusive of reporting the events that we have decided at a conceptual framework level and or carried forward into the standards that we conclude should be recognized, measured, reported in the current period. And you don't have a concern with some things being shoved aside or tried to be downplayed? I think we thought it was more protective of information to users by having P&L be the default instead of having OCI be the default.
Well, that's what Liz disagrees with.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to...
Yeah.
Anybody else? Yes, great.
I think I look at paragraph 5 in the notes for this meeting, and I agree that the financial performance, there are lots of different aspects to it. And so... And I think actually paragraph 5 goes quite a long way to defining what financial performance is. But I think there's one aspect of financial performance which people home in on, and that's profit and loss. And I think that is a concept or a line item which is so well understood generally, so well used generally, that it is something you need to keep, but you also perhaps need to define it.
Yes. I think what we were trying to get to a minute ago, and Mary was enunciating, we did think, and we did come to the decision, I think, in the discussion paper, that the profit and loss figure is the important performance figure. But it's how we're going to get to it that we're differing. So we've taken the approach of defining what's not in it. So take comprehensive income, what are you going to take out? and what's left is your profit and loss. But we had a debate on whether we should do it the other way around. You know, define what's in profit and loss, and then what's not in it is an OCI.
I think the problem, if you define something by default, is that in some ways it becomes a dustbin. You're not quite sure what it represents in the end. You have a far more robust framework if you define what's in it and what's not in it. So define both profit and loss and OCI.
Danger of that is you leave some things out altogether.
not necessarily.
Unless you're very, very good. Much better than this board, probably.
Well, I think you have to start with what you think the profit and loss is. You have what is your ultimate judgment of what goes through profit and loss and OCI. I haven't got a good definition for you, but when we were thinking about it, we thought, well, the sort of ultimate arbiter of performance in some ways is the cash flows in fine. You know, if you look at the life of an entity, there's cash coming in and out. At the end of the day, everything is a cash inflow or a cash outflow. Sure. And the problem of profit and loss and OCI, etc., is to allocate it to years. So what you're looking for is those concepts for doing the allocation. And we do it with amortization. That's not a problem. And it shouldn't be, accounting isn't a science, it's an art. It shouldn't be beyond the wit of man to define what is in profit and loss and what is in OCI and how we allocate all these cash flows across the period.
When you see it in your letter, give us a good outline that we could begin on.
You've got much more brain power in this building.
I mean, conceptually, of course you're right, but getting there in actual practical terms, well, we felt was rather difficult. Françoise.
Obviously, it's a difficult issue. I'm not sure I would recommend that you define profit or loss, other than we're looking at the way you define it or describe it as the primary measurement of performance as the good basis. And in fact, in our preliminary views, we favor the broad approach to OCI so that what you have in fact defined should be examples of what is secondary to the analysis of the performance. So we start from the idea that if you meet the objective of selecting a measurement basis that does what we alluded to earlier, which is that it brings relevant information on both the balance sheet and the income statement, it follows from there that whatever change results from that has some information content that has been deemed relevant in the treatment of companies. So if you base this basically the disaggregation between profit or loss and OCI should follow from this primary notion and secondary notion. So you have a starting point and then you consider other elements probably in a second step. But everything is relevant. So and you should be able to describe each of those flows in the period that you reflect them in the statement of comprehensive income. To us, so if you start with this kind of principles for your standard setting, which are not accounting principles per se, but principles for your decision making in your standard setting process, you should arrive at some relevant information.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ian. I was going to make this comment when we get to question 2 or 3, but some of the comments made me feel like I should make the comment now, which is actually a question to the board. Many of the discussions we currently have is because some believe there should be some subtotal somewhere, and others are maybe less convinced of that. So we were wondering why the project on financial statement presentation was not somehow included in this debate, because we thought a sources of income approach might at least make some of these questions pretty irrelevant. My question would be, why was that not discussed in the discussion paper, and would that maybe solve some of the questions that you have on the table right now?
Eddie, you want to do the first question?
I mean, I think what we wanted to do here really was to concentrate on the things we needed for the framework. And so if we got into the whole debate about financial statement presentation, that's probably a massive topic in its own right. And so that's why we really have tried to focus as much as we could on the particular issue. The other point about OCI was pretty much everybody raised it in their comment that's on the agenda consultation and said you need to bring some order to this area. And so we looked at ways of trying to do that. At some stage, the board may or may not do something with the financial statement presentation or parts of the financial statement presentation, but we saw that really as a separate project or as a follow-on project. Yeah.
And the answer to your second question, would it have helped? It would if we could come to a solution. Tried once and failed, and we're just worried about spending another 5 years waiting.
I thought you could at least solve some of the recycling issues, but...
Good. Chris?
I have great sympathy for you on this subject, and I think you've done a good job beginning to explain later what OCI might be. Congratulations. And I think we might have some sort of compromise here. You could perhaps define profit or loss as a measure of the performance of the entity in the period, and therefore we leave out these three things, which we put in OCI. So there is a sort of definition, but actually what you're really doing is defining OCI, because I think that in practice that's all you'll be able to do.
That's where we kind of got to after debating it round and round. We didn't go as far as saying P&L is the performance. We went as far as saying it seems to be the most important indicator, which I guess is saying a similar thing. But, okay.
When it comes to defining OCI, I guess I'd look in the terms of what gets in the way of understanding performance. So in the sense you get back to having a notion of performance, you inevitably can't get away from it.
We'll move on to the next section in the paper, which starts at paragraph 7. So the board, in the discussion paper, the ISB explored whether to retain a total or a subtotal for profit and loss. And the arguments for and against retaining that total are listed in table 1. In the end, the board came to a plenary view in favour of retaining a profit and loss subtotal or total, and that's for the reasons listed in that table in favour of that retention. So the question that I want to put to you is, do you agree with the board's preliminary review that profit and loss as a subtotal should be retained at the conceptual framework level?
Christy, could I also refine the question a little bit? And that is to say, not only do you believe should it be retained, but do you think the board should make the statement that it should be the primary measure,
yes,
as opposed to just a measure? Yes. And the reason I ask the question, obviously, is in certain industries where there are significant numbers of items entering OCI and exiting OCI over long periods of time, I think you can make the case that profit and loss has very little meaning. One has to look at both profit and loss and OCI. And what I'm thinking of here is our project on insurance contracts. So the question is having a subtotal may be fine, but should we say that it's primary? Because if we're trying to educate the user community about the need to focus on OCI and total comprehensive income, are we doing them a disservice?
Francois, you've got an answer to that.
Well, if you end up wanting to put something in OCI because you believe that it's of no interest, revise your measurement. Because, the tension in the discussion on performance reporting has always been, now you cannot stop at profit or loss because otherwise people won't take into consideration things that they should take into consideration. If you have this primary and secondary notion, so you take into account that people analyze the entity in steps and consider different factors in different ways, and you base your approach on this kind of basis, then you should never come to the conclusion that there are things that you don't want to look at, that you've dumped, No, they're important. And so you should never be afraid of bringing things into a CI because they are important as well.
Okay. Christy, I think we've got a general. Do you want to speak, Andrew?
Yeah, thanks, Ian. I just wanted to say that I find it really very odd to say here's this terribly important number, and indeed perhaps it's the primary number, but we can't define it and we don't know what it means.
We know what it isn't.
Well, you know what it isn't, but then you look at what's proposed on OCR and you think, well, okay, maybe it's everything except these things. But then it's not even that, because if I read the discussion paper correctly, the proposal is that things that fall in those categories, the ISB might decide to report an OCI, and in some cases there'll be recycling, and I don't know how to judge whether I support recycling or not, except one on the grounds of instinct, and secondly, by having some idea as to what PNL means.
Okay. All right, let's move on, Chris.
Good suggestion about recycling, because the next question is regarding recycling. So along with a decision to retain a total or a subtotal for profit and loss, the board also considered whether that notion should embody a requirement or a permission to recycle some or all items that were presented in OCI and recycle them or reclassify them to profit and loss in a subsequent period. So the views that supported recycling and those of those who did not support recycling were listed in Table 2. Having considered those views, the board came to a preliminary view that any requirement to present a profit or loss subtotal or total should also result or could result in some items in OCI being recycled. So the next question that I want to put to you is whether you agree with the board's preliminary view regarding recycling.
I'm going to risk sounding not very British now, I fear. But if we can clearly establish why something went into OCI, and I think we're on our way to it, and if the thing that caused it to go into OCI has now reversed, then that sounds like a good reason for recycling. So if and presumably the logic is that a gain on the investment property, for example, ought to go in OCI. I think that's one of the implications mentioned here. So we'd have to rewrite IAS 40. But when we sold the investment property, we'd get the gain in profit or loss. But that's only once we've made it exactly clear why something was in OCI in the first place. So presumably it might take a very long time. I haven't quite thought about whether it might be never for the reason to reverse, or it might be fairly soon in the case of available for sale securities, say. I think we've been opposed to recycling because nobody really knew what OCI was or why we were doing recycling. But if we were clear what caused OCI and we were clear, therefore, what reverses it, we might be less opposed to recycling.
Andrea.
I think that once we've defined profit and loss as a primary performance measure, however we choose to define it, I think on that basis, that really means that conceptually everything should eventually go through that figure. So once you say you have a subtotal, everything should get recycled. The reason why most things end up in, or the reason why I think everything ends up in OCI is because we've chose a different balance sheet measure from a profit loss measure. And given that it's generated by a difference in measurement, it has to be relevant for some reason, because we wouldn't have chosen the balance sheet measurement if it wasn't relevant. So I always think what goes into OCI is going to be relevant, but if we define a subtotal, then it, for profit and loss, it must also be relevant to the performance at some point in time. I'm not sure when that date is, but at some point in time it would be relevant.
Further comments? Veronica.
The
support where the board has got to, I think just to come back to some of the comments that were made, I think it is following very much from the definition. The moment you define profit and loss, recycling will follow. The moment you have said there is that number, the recycling will follow. Furthermore, I actually think that the moment you say stewardship and performance is linked to stewardship, recycling will follow, because what you will want them to do is to say that, okay, whether that's the bridging items because of the different measurement, whether that is because of the timing differences, that storage time does need somehow then to reflect on the management's performance. I wouldn't go quite as far as concluding that everything, though, at some stage hits profit and loss, because I do struggle with some of the patience type of items and some things that always reverse in the financial instruments world and whatnot. So I do struggle with
themselves out. Yeah.
That's right. So I do struggle with saying that everything always hits profit and loss. But nonetheless, as a guiding principle, I would say that to me, performance is about what has happened in the period, and it's about how the management discharged its responsibilities and what it managed to generate in that period. Now, if I had to store something for a while because of the measurement base being inappropriate for profit and loss recognition, or because of this timing difference, I would say that is potentially reflective of the performance of a future period and therefore should come into the profit and loss of a future period. But as I wouldn't jump as far as saying everything all the time into P&L. Mm. But definitely recycling would follow.
Francois.
Just to give support to what Andrea and Veronica have said, it's very much in line with our preliminary views.
Didn't want to change your mind?
But
you changed your mind?
No, I agree with everything that's just been said, actually, so there's a point in you.
All right.
Okay, so then the next section starts at paragraph 14 of the agenda paper. So having a preliminary view that the concept of profit and loss as a total or subtotal with the notion of recycling should be retained in the conceptual framework. It was then discussed in the discussion paper how to distinguish items of income and expense that are recognised in OCI from those that are recognised in profit and loss, and when they should they be recycled if they are in OCI. As we've already discussed, and we've had some discussion on the approach that the board took, was to look to describe the items that are recognised in OCI and treat profit and loss as the default section. We did try using commonly used suggested attributes for making that distinction, one of the most common one being distinguished between profit and loss and OCI on the basis of realised or unrealised income or expense, but we felt none of these in isolation would give us that distinguishing attribute which could help us distinguish directly that distinction. So what we did do was to describe two principles, and again we've touched on this, that profit and loss provides the primary source of information about the return an entity has made on its economic resources in the period, and that OCI supports that in that you use OCI and you present or recognise an item in OCI if it makes the relevance of profit and loss as that primary source of information about the return of an entity has made on its resources more relevant. So the question then under paragraph 19 is that do you agree with this approach? And I know we've already had some discussion, so profit and loss is the default category and that we've tried to describe OCI items.
Any comments on that? Francois.
I think I have already expressed the view there. I think it's neither one or the other. You should not have a limited description of OCI either, because
If you do, you limit your possibilities of reaching relevant answers in certain cases that you have just not identified today.
So do you think, could you envisage a conceptual framework that stopped at not much more than what paragraph 17 in the agenda paper is saying, which is effectively those two principles that profit and loss provides that primary source of information, and so conceptually you could live with it, something like that?
Yes, and support your broad approach with OCI, and you provide examples, because I mean you need some flesh around it, but these are examples, so it's not a limitative list, it's not a limited list of exceptions. Mm-hmm. And you remove that notion of exception, because exception gets the meaning of something that is bad, that should be avoided, and you cannot avoid bringing more relevance.
Andrew.
I mean, I just respond to that comment that, in effect, one could just restrict how the conceptual framework deals with these issues. Is that, from the perspective of a UK insurer, just looking how the OCI has developed the use of it recently, we'd be nervous of having conceptual framework, not having discussion, not going into that area, because the way we look at the way we're almost arbitrarily the use of OCI has been brought to insurance and counting it into financial instrument accounting, we would think that there needs to be conceptual bases for these distinctions made, which are actually of primary importance. And I may have misunderstood what you said there, but I think it would be a great mistake. And the business of there being a primary statement, profit and loss, there being good reasons for getting out of it, and quite narrow ones, is fundamentally important.
I guess there is a reconciling ground, if I may offer, between the two comments, and one is probably is simply saying define both elements, or define one and the other is the residual. Or I think what I'm hearing from what Françoise is saying is that it's perhaps indicate the characteristics of what would characterize something as a performance versus what would be the characteristic, even if it's narrowly and precisely defined, as to what would fall into OCI. And only things that would meet those characteristics would then go there. So it leaves you a little bit more room for evolution and finding items that perhaps you did not envisage when you wrote the conceptual framework, rather than saying, this is it, this is the definition. But that's all I think that I'm hearing in terms of the difference between the two approaches, because I think both are saying important to define what would be performance and what would be OCI.
Okay.
So then the next part of the paper is really paragraphs 20 to 26, and this is where we describe how we've applied those principles in paragraph 17 of the agenda paper. And we looked, or the discussion paper developed two approaches. One is a narrow approach and the other is a broad approach. We also reference another approach which does not envisage any recycling. So when you recognise an amount of income and expense, it's in the statement of comprehensive income once and only once. And that's the I think in the paper alternative one, or approach one. But the two approaches that develop the board's preliminary view that profit and loss should be a total or a subtotal that embodies the concept of recycling are detailed in approach 2A and 2B. And 2A is the narrow approach, and I won't go into the details of those because that could take me quite a long time, but they are summarised in the tables. But from a high level, the narrow approach really tries to address those requests to have quite a tied framework at the conceptual level, which the board could then apply at a standards level. And it does restrict the amount of items that could be presented in OCI. It also, by the nature of why those items went into OCI in the first place, mean that recycling is driven off that original reason. So bringing up a point that was raised earlier. The broad approach gives a lot more discretion, takes on the notions that we're in the narrow approach, but then expands that and gives the board a lot more discretion or decision making at a standards level to determine what items go in OCI, and also means that it can also have some discretion about whether the items should be recycled or not. So the reasons for putting something into OCI in the broad approach, and here we're talking about the transitory remeasurements, might not necessarily result in the items being recycled at a later period. So with that very brief summary, the question that I'd like to propose is whether you support either of those approaches, or even to approach 1, 2A or 2B, and if you don't support any of those, any ideas about what you would support or how you would develop what we further. I think I've had a lot of clues from what people have already said. So if we want to, I'm sure in terms of timing, it wouldn't be a bad thing. But I've heard some views that people do tend to have some sympathy for the broader approach.
Awesome.
Yeah, just to be brief, I think, as you said, you've kind of heard the views. I think my position is that the broad approach is appropriate and sensible. I think the recycling point in the table, and I think in the paper you've talked about some recycling, and then you said why some wouldn't be, and where it wouldn't be. In the example that you've given, you said it wouldn't result in a meaningful outcome. So I think maybe it's just a language point, but I think the recycling is something that we're very much in favour of as a default position. So rather than saying some recycling, you say yes, recycling, unless there's strong reasons to not go down that route. And the pension example that you've given is a very good one.
Everybody, yes, Chris.
So you're asking us to choose between 2A and 2B, which might be rephrased as follows: to be or not to be. That is the question. I wouldn't give up, as you seem to do in paragraph 838, in thinking that you can't find an overarching principle, even if you go to approach 2B. I think you're on your way to articulating what it is that's going on, even in approach 2B. We've got remeasurements that might reverse in some way, or remeasurements that you might later sell or something. So I think I'd be happy with approach 2B as long as you can tell us clearly what's in it. And I think you should be able to do that.
It's been a long journey so far.
Any other thoughts? We don't need to. We have had quite a lot of thoughts on this. Mr. Sid, Andrew.
I would favour the narrow approach, except, and I wouldn't be tied to a mast and going down the ship on pension accounting, which I don't understand. I won't pretend to go there, but insofar as the broader approach is able to justify an approach to insurance accounting that's being proposed by the board now, then I would say that it would be indicative of a broadening of an approach which lacks any clear basis. That the nature of transitory, what is that? I mean, if you're sitting on Japanese equities in 1989, how long is the transitory stock market going to be sitting that level? Nikkei index, I don't know. So the whole nature of what is transitory, what is revenue in a particular period, they're really difficult ones. So I think we wouldn't, we probably know that UK insurers are fair value for profit and loss people. We don't see, even though we've got long-term business, movements or in values that may result in cash flows in future periods is only being relating to future periods they are relevant now. So we would be relatively hard on this is a presumption of P&L. If the problem arises recycling, basically the problem then suggests you shouldn't have as much in OCI. It's the other way of looking at it. The problem is recycling, have less recycling because you have less in OCI. So I think we tend towards the narrow.
Has been raised with us that there's a conceptual problem with recycling, in that what is the element once you've stuck it in the comprehensive income and second? That's a different argument.
Not a small.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. And we're right on the very moment, John. You don't have to rush this time.
Shall we move then to agenda paper three, which discusses the asset and liability definitions, recognition and derecognition. Because we do have limited time, although more than this morning,